I think we need to know joy and have joy in our hearts. It's been a difficult time for a lot of people, but you know, we can still have joy through this time. It's so interesting as we read the account of the birth of Jesus and what led up to it. With all the joy that was going on, there was still a lot of stress. I don't think I would have wanted to be Mary sitting on a bony back donkey in your last trimester traveling to a city. That would be difficult. I'm not really sure I'd want to be Joseph with my wife on that donkey traveling that distance. It could be very difficult too, could it not? Because you know he loved her very much, but it had to be horribly uncomfortable. But we do all go through difficult times. We have a brother here that just lost a friend recently. Hard time of year to do it, isn't it? People in the hospital. A lot of people have stress in their finances. But we can still know joy. And I think that when we place our joy in the right place, it comes much easier. And I want to talk about that this morning. I'm Luke, as we have been, of course. We're still in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man who was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. So we had a young lady who had been promised to Joseph in marriage, and the angel shows up. Now we know what happened when Gabriel showed up with Elizabeth, right? Well, this is the second part of what Gabriel's about to do. And I cannot imagine, I still can't imagine and being confronted by an angel like that to begin with. When you look at Zachariah's response to the angel, he wasn't so sure. But what happened with Mary? He says, Hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and considered in her mind, What manner of greeting should this be? I get in modern terms, I guess it would be, what is going on, right? And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and he shall be called Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Of course, we know Jesus is the star of Jacob, right? He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever in his kingdom, and there shall be no end. His reigning will never, ever end. And then Mary said to the angel, How shall this be? Seeing I know no man. I've not been with a man. How can it be? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This had to be very surprising to Mary. She had to be scratching her head a little bit, right? Huh? You know, I find a contrast here between what went on with Zachariah and what goes on with Mary. You know, Zachariah had been praying that he and Elizabeth would have a child. They'd been praying forever. And when the angel came and announced that to him, he doubted. And we know because of that, he was mute until the baby was born. But Mary's given a little bit of grace here because Mary had not been praying for this. This was a surprise to her. She had every reason in the world to say, How can this be? Right? And I cannot imagine any of us saying anything else but the same thing with something so unbelievable and astounding and a first. I mean, she knew and we knew this had never happened before. This had never happened before that someone had never been with a man was now going to have a child. And he says, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. He wants to share with her that, look, these are the things God can do. You know your cousin Elizabeth. You know how old she is, and she's barren. But guess what? She's having a child, too. What two unbelievable things were just told to Mary that were just wonderful and amazing. But what was her response after this was said? And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Is it any wonder that she was chose to carry our Savior? She was obedient. The main thing that God looks for in our life is obedience. And God knew her heart and her obedience, and that she would be obedient in the person that she was. Are all of us obedient to begin with? No, I would say that we're not. But I think true obedience and commitment to the Lord can come. And it can come as we grow. Growing is a daily process. I don't know of anyone that has ever accepted the Lord and immediately everything in their life went perfect. They knew everything in Scripture. They knew I had all the right answers. They let go of every problem they ever had. They were it just doesn't happen that way. God works in our lives and helps us grow. But we have to be willing, like Mary said, and behold, what did he say? The handmaid of the Lord. In other words, she's saying, I am here to serve the Lord regardless whatsoever. And I think that if we start out with that, when we have that mindset, we'll see unbelievable things in our own lives. That we are here wholly to serve the Lord. And it said, and Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. She had to go see Elizabeth, didn't she? You know, after finding this out, you know, they didn't have email back then, and she couldn't just find out immediately. Elizabeth didn't text her. And she went into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing, huh? John was there, wasn't he? John recognized the Lord, even as a baby in the womb. I've got to tell you guys something that's very interesting. That's kind of a current event, but it just reminded me of this when the baby leaped in the womb. There was a lady that was writing in the New York Times, and she was writing an article that was a pro-abortion article. And she had been posed the question of, what about adoption? Why don't you push for more adoption rather than for more abortion? And she said, there's a problem with that. She said, the problem is that babies, fetuses, she said, while in the mother's womb, form a unique and unexplainable bond with their mother. And when they're born and given away to someone else, that bond is broken, and it is very traumatic on them throughout their life to ever get back the bond that they felt in the womb. And believe it or not, that was this lady's argument for abortion. She just admitted that a baby in the womb has an unbelievable bond with her mother. Isn't that amazing? That people don't, they step in it sometimes when they start talking, right? Huh? But there's no question here, whatsoever that John recognized as a baby in the womb, he recognized Jesus in Mary's womb. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. You see that sentence before, it says The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened when she was filled with the Holy Spirit? She spoke out, didn't she? She was full of joy, and she spoke out. I truly believe that when the Holy Spirit is active and working in our lives, as He's supposed to be, that we speak out with joy. And that joy is seen, and it'll come from us. Do you believe that? I firmly do believe that. I think that too many times, when we think of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we pray to God the Father, we thank Jesus Christ for what He has done, but we many times in the third person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit, we have a tendency to put the Holy Spirit on the back burner. And I think the thing that we miss so much today is the fact that when Jesus went to be with God and sat on the right hand of His Father, He left a comforter, and that comforter was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that is active in our lives today, and He's active in the one in our lives and helping us to think, to grow, to know, and to learn. So I think we need to pay a little bit more attention to the Holy Spirit and what He actively does do. Now, I think there's definitely a great division between what the Holy Spirit actively does do, what He should do, and the active part of Him in our life, and what some people have made Him out to do. And I'll just let you fill in the blanks and figure that one out. Because study your Word, and you'll know what the role of the Holy Spirit is. The role of the Holy Spirit is there to help us learn and grow and to know. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She's her cousin, shouldn't she visit, right? Elizabeth recognized how precious it was, who Mary was and what she was doing and what God had put on her. "Why is it this granted to me that the Mother of the Lord should come to me?" See, Elizabeth's being blessed through this at this time too. "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy greeting sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told to her from the Lord." Not only did Mary completely believe, but Elizabeth's completely believing. You know, we look at genealogies and people and families, and we always want to talk about a great family. I got to tell you guys something. This must have been a great family. These ladies were cousins. And there was definitely some surrender to God in that family. And there was definitely the Lord working in this family long before any of this happened. And, you know, it shows me, and I was thinking as I was reading this, that blessed are these two women who God chose for these roles. Both of them would see great sorrow in their sons and what would become of them on an earthly plane. Both of them would see their sons not live to grow old and die of natural causes, but they would see God use them greatly in an unbelievable way. I think there's a lesson here also, without reading into it too much. I think there's a lesson that when families commit themselves to God and to what God says, God uses people in those families. Am I right? It's all through Scripture, not just here, but it's all through it, right? Are we willing to commit our families to the Lord? To say, "Yes, Lord, whatever, I'm here. Lord, I'm your handmaiden. I'm here." Are we willing to do that and see what God will do in our own families? "Oh, Pastor, you don't know my family. We're so rough on the edges, you can't see anything shine." God can. God chose each and every one of you for a purpose. And we can do one of two things. We can either say, "Yes, Lord," and surrender to His design, or we can continually buck the system and work on our own design, which doesn't look so well. God uses those that are willing to be used. And I don't think there's any greater joy that any of us can have than to be used of God. There's that fine line there's that fine line between leaving your past and coming to the future and forgetting your past, but yet at the same time wishing that maybe you had surrendered earlier. Because when you're serving the Lord and you're older, like some of us, and you look back on all the time that you didn't serve, it seems like such wasted time that you really could have served the Lord in so many ways and done so many wonderful things. But at the same time, we understand that when we surrender to God and we do turn from that, that he takes everything that we had done in that point and he finds a way to use it in our lives. That's not an excuse to do what's wrong. And I'm just saying that, you know, am I grateful to the Lord that I go through those things that brings me to the point that allows me to serve him better today? Or do I ride that fence and think that, you know, wow, if I had started serving the Lord at 14, 15, 16, what great things might have happened? I can't question that. I just have to know that today, as I surrender to the Lord, I serve the Lord, and he uses me. And that's just the way that is. We can't go back and add years. We can't go back and change things. But what we can do from this day forward is to wholly, wholly trust God and to live for him. I want to tell you something. I really doubt that Zacharias ever doubted God again when he prayed. Huh? Never for a minute. Because God's faithful. And God is always faithful. What, you know, Stephen talked about all the times, talked about joy in the Bible this morning. Glory, he talked about that a lot this week, didn't he? I just know Stephen. I bet he did. The point is, joy. This is a joyful time of year. And we need to go out in our communities and show people that joy. Show them that love. Let them see it. Oh, man, do they need it? Huh? Do you see the despair in people? I'll say I was watching the weather because I try not to pay attention to the news, you know. But they were talking this morning about all these cities in America that are having the most violent year they've ever had. Folks, where's the joy? The joy's in Jesus. Now the next question I have is, who's going to share it with them? Young people, who's going to share it with your friends? Don't be afraid to share Jesus with your friends, that they're going to think you're weird. They're probably going to think you're weird anyway. You know, you might as well be weird with a purpose, right? Huh? Weird with a good purpose of sharing the Lord with people. Some people say, I can't share the Lord. Everybody knows this, that, and the other about me. They'll never believe it. Well, that to me is, it tells me that I need to get my act together, right? So they can't say that. And when they do bring it up, say, well, I don't live there anymore. Right? Let people see the changed heart in you. Let people see what God has done in your life, the difference in you. I don't know what's going on with him, but man, he's different than he was a year ago. I don't know what's going on with her, but man, she's a joy to be around. Huh? That's God working in your life. These ladies right here, these two ladies were full of joy. And that joy was produced out of obedience and God using them. People say, how can it be any fun to serve God? How can it be any fun to not do the things I like to do and do what God wants? Well, I'll tell you what, there's no greater joy than what these two ladies were going through here right now. Huh? Elizabeth was shouting with joy. Huh? That joy of trusting God. And this is one of my favorite parts of the Christmas story, and I'm going to read it next because I just love it. I just love her attitude and her thinking and all this. Mary's speaking now, and in verse 46 she says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. What's it mean to magnify? Huh? Praise. Make larger too. Magnification. My soul says God is unbelievable. My soul said God is amazing. My soul says God is my all in all. Doesn't mean you still can't love people around you. Doesn't mean that you just still can't love that 68 Camaro in your driveway. Doesn't mean you can't like those things. But your soul, your inner you, needs to be magnifying the Lord. Wow, God, look what you've done in my life. Wow, God, look what you've done for me. You sent your son to this earth to pay for all the sin I've ever done, and I don't have to carry it. Huh? Could you imagine if someone told you you had 6 months to live and you had to figure out a way to repay and make right every sin you've done in your life? You might as well just throw in the towel. It could never be done. It couldn't be done anyway. But Jesus said, you know what? You can't do it, but I'm pure and I'm holy. I'm a spotless lamb. I'm going to come and I'm going to shed my blood to cover your sin, because there has to be a blood sacrifice for sin. That's God's rule, not mine. We had this sinless, perfect Son of God that came and shed his blood for our sin. That's why he's being born here. And when I get on my knees and I say, Lord, I thank you for that free gift and what you did for me on the cross, and that you paid for my sin, my sin is forgiven from now through eternity. And that barrier that was broken between me and a holy God has now been bridged. And it's been bridged by Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and accepting that. It seems like such a simple thing to do, yet with so many people, it's so difficult. People don't accept what Jesus Christ has done for them, but then they say they want to pray to God. I don't know what God they're praying to, because the one up there can't hear them. There's a wall between us and God until we accept Jesus Christ. And if we've accepted Jesus Christ, shouldn't that produce joy? Huh? I would think so. And there's different types of joy and levels of joy. Some people battle with inner struggles their entire life. Some people battle with all kinds of things. Self-esteem issues. Things that have affected them from the time they were a child. Negativity. Free-floating anxiety. That's a big one. Anybody know what that is? That's when all of a sudden anxiety will just come all over you and you don't know why. And maybe that person's joy is the fact that they're able to cope and still be positive. God gives us the ability, no matter who we are or where we are, to have joy and know that there's hope in tomorrow. Do you know why that we have such a high suicide rate today? Because people don't have hope in tomorrow. They don't know Jesus. People say, what are we going to do about the suicide rate? I know exactly what we need to do. We need to tell people about Jesus Christ and lead them to Christ. Because I can tell you, whatever part of despair I've ever had in my life, throughout my life, that may have seemed hopeless, I always knew that Jesus Christ and God was the light at the end of the tunnel. And regardless of what I was going through, he was there. And he would be there and he'd see me through it one way or the other. Huh? What did Paul say about dying? To live is what? To die is gain. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Because if he died, he was with the Heavenly Father. And he knew that. See, as long as you know that in your life, there's nothing hopeless. And you don't have to feel hopeless. The problem today with our society is people don't have any hope. When things get tough and they get difficult, they have nowhere to go. They think this is it. This is all there is. And a lot of them say, if this is all there is, I don't see things any better. I'm tired of feeling this way. I'm just going to check out. But when you know that God has marked you with a plan on your life, there's something inside you that tells you that, you know what? I am not allowed to end this because God planned it, and I've got to see his plan through. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary knew she needed a Savior, didn't she? She knew it wasn't about her. In God, my Savior. I'm still thinking about this. I'm kind of going back. I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. I'm not hearing about Mary sweating bullets about telling Joseph about this yet. Huh? I haven't heard yet too much, what is Joseph going to think? Huh? I'm not even sure she told him she was leaving town to run to her cousin's house. I can't fill in the blanks. But my point being, she is so excited and thrilled with what God has said and what's going to happen, and she knows it and she believes it. The first person she wants to run to is the other person the angel told her about, which was her cousin, and she was no longer barren. And Mary at this point does not know the plan, but she knows there is one. And she's excited. Folks, I want you to understand something this morning. There is a plan. You don't know what it is, but be excited. There is one. There's no reason that any of you can't be excited about life today, because God has a plan. He's waiting for two words. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. Was she being prideful there? I think not. Because what she said prior to this was, to that statement of everyone calling her blessed, is that he hath regarded, can I fill in the blank here with a different word? He hath regarded the humble estate, or the humble place and position of his handmaiden. God understood that I have totally humbled my life to him as his servant. And now every generation will call me blessed. Why? Because of what God has done, not because of what Mary had done. I got to tell you something. This was one humble lady. This was one willing servant. And there's another lesson in this too. She was young. Young people, young ladies, young men, I don't ever want to hear you think what you do think many times, as I did, many others will. I've got my whole life ahead of me. I can surrender to the Lord later. I can see what His will is for me later. God desires for you to start walking in His path and in His will as soon as you are old enough to understand that's what you need to do. He didn't wait for some lady to go through all the bumps in life and grow in maturity and get a little stronger and do all these things before she was the proper candidate to carry our Lord and Savior. He chose a young woman that was already humbled and surrendered to Him. Young people, be humbled and surrender to God, and you'll see an unbelievable life ahead of you that will be so different had you not. See, my desire for you as a congregation and for everyone I know is for none of you to look back and see regrets in your life. Too many people carry regrets. And even though they know that things are forgiven and they're moving on, sometimes those regrets, because we're people, those regrets still come to the surface. And we think about them. And wish things hadn't have happened. Right? And what's really hard even in society today is even when you're a different person, completely different person, there's those people out there that will look at those things that you regret and you wish that they weren't there. See, my desire is that you don't have those regrets. And when you surrender your life to the Lord and walk with Him, you're not going to compile those regrets like baggage that you carry through life. Because even though we surrender to the Lord, sometimes there's things that have happened and done in our lives that are going to be there because of what we've done, right? I often use this kind of blunt example. If I'm out partying and I wreck my truck and my leg gets cut off, I can accept the Lord and have a wonderful life ahead of me. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to go around the rest of my life with one leg, right? We don't need those regrets. Surrender to your life to the Lord while you're young, and watch Him bless your life. There are no greater riches than the riches that God will give you in that walk with Him. If we seek the world's riches, we're not going to find happiness. We might find money, but it can be really ugly. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. You know, Mary's talking here about a God that I wish that we all recognized. First of all, she says, and holy is his name. We worship and follow a holy God. Not some hip dude that thinks it's okay, whatever, what we do. God has what his standards are, and we as people are to follow his standards because he's a holy God. We don't make our own standards and say, God, come on, you got to fit what we're going to do and what we think and how we act. We need to recognize that we have a holy God. And that is the God that we worship, is a holy God. And then what does she say? And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. I often talk about that fear being a healthy, respectful fear, not quivering in your boots and hiding under a table, but a healthy, respectful fear of respecting God and his holiness and knowing that, you know what, this is an awesome God that I need to realize that I'm in subjection to, and he's a sovereign God that will do what he does, when he'll do it, and how he does it, and I need to be reverent to him and recognize who he is and fall under his obedience, not trying to get him to come to mine. Does that make sense? See, Mary recognizes this. She says, generations, as long as you are willing to submit yourself to God, you're going to be okay. He's going to bring mercy in your life. But I always like to look at the opposite of things when things are said. If he's going to bring you mercy in your life, if you surrender to who he is, that kind of tells me if I refuse to surrender, things are going to be pretty merciless for me. Huh? I don't want that. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud and the imagination of their hearts. Do you know one of the biggest things God really struggles with in people, and it's all through Scripture, is pride. Pride, puffing ourselves up. And do you know that everything the world wants to offer us today that we're supposed to go after are things that should make us proud? Huh? Look at the things that pride's in. I see it all over kids' t-shirts. This pride, that pride, this pride. There's nothing wrong with being proud of things that are done through God. But self-pride and lifting ourselves up is not what God calls us to do or to be or to have. He hath put them down, the mighty from their seats, and exalted the low. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. This is what I talk about every week. Those people that desire richness, they walk away empty. Those people that are hungry to trust God, to live for God, and don't really worry about what they accumulate, he lifts up and he feeds. You know, the day, and I've told you guys this many, many times, the day that we decided in this church, probably, I don't know, I lose track of time, I'm not a time person, but it's been about 10 years ago, we decided how we were going to approach money in this church. And we were going to approach money this way, by saying, God, we're going to trust you to provide. We want you to bring anyone in that door that needs Jesus Christ. I don't care if they're dead broke and don't need any, bring anything in that door but needs. From that day forward, God has blessed this church. And we have not struggled with money. And I want to tell you something, every day before that we did. Because God wants us to trust him, not to plan and scheme. This is one church that I never have to worry about when wealthy people come in the door, everyone running to them to give them the best seat, because that's not who we are. But some places do that because they got a budget to meet, and I'm glad that I don't have. The only budget I worry about to meeting is God, you know what, God? Are you going to take care of this budget? Because we're going to try to do what you do in the meantime. And he does. Praise God for that. God takes care of those that are more concerned with what he wants than how they think they can fix it or what they want. Keep that in mind. Folks out there, I want to tell you something. When you start trusting God for tomorrow in all aspects of your life, you will see God begin to take care of you in a way that you won't believe. I didn't say you were going to get rich. This isn't a prosperity gospel here. But in a sense it is. It's God's prosperity. God will prosper us in our heart, in our mind, in our soul. And yes, he will take care of our provisions. And you can be like me. My bank account does not reflect it, but boy, do I feel rich. And that's a far better place than having to keep getting more because I can't get enough. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He hath spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Boy, Joseph was understanding, wasn't he? I don't know many guys that are promised to a wife and then say, hey, by the way, I'm going to go stay with my cousin for 3 months. Huh? You know, Mary, this whole passage just talks about her devotion to God and what she's recognizing through all this. She's looking back and seeing how God has taken care of Israel and their mercy. This young lady obviously knows her Jewish history. And she knows what God has done. And she's recognizing all of this. And she's praising God. And now she's going to stay with Mary. And you know, I bet those two prayed together and loved together and thought together and wondered together. See, I can wonder what God's going to do every day of my life, but I don't have to know. I don't have to know because I know when he's in charge, it'll all be good. I don't have to know how everything's planned out. People often say, Pastor, I just don't know what God's plan in my life is. I do. For you to say yes, Lord, and live. When you are saying yes, Lord, and live for him, he is going to guide your life each and every day, and it's going to go where he intends it to go. You don't have to know all the particulars. And what a wonderful place to be in trusting God in that way. When we can finally get to that point of trust, and I'll close with this, when we can finally get to that point of trust, we get to that point of joy. I can't go out in the street and have joy and talk to people and see people when I'm concerned about next week and the week after, the month after, and is this going to happen or is that going to happen? Because I don't know what's going to happen. And God intended it that way in our lives because we are to trust him. And we get to that place of trusting him, it'll all start becoming clear to all of us. I'm not talking about flying by the seat of our pants. I'm talking about being responsible and diligent in everything we do, but first and foremost, trusting God for the outcome and for tomorrow. And for the guidance. And that Holy Spirit I talked about, that sits right there, listen. Pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you through God's Word. For the Holy Spirit to bring to remembrance the things that you need to know each and every day. For the Holy Spirit to bring you to repentance when you're going down a wrong path. For the Holy Spirit to guide your children. Fathers, for the Holy Spirit to guide you so that you don't provoke your children to wrath. Easy to do. Easy to do. See, God needs to guide us through our entire life, not just in periods. When we surrender all the time, we begin to know that joy. And I wish that joy for you this season. Jesus, we thank you for this day. For coming to this earth as a baby. I can't imagine what you thought growing up or what you knew or didn't know. I guess for now that's not for us to know. But I can't help but think how amazing your thoughts and what you went through must have been. And you did it all because you loved us. And your whole plan was to go to that cross at the end. Lord, I thank you for servants like Mary, and like Elizabeth, and like John as he grew. Lord, I thank you for those that have trusted you through history to bring us today what we have today. Lord, let us be a people that you're able to use for tomorrow's history. And great things are done through you, through us. The Lord will probably never live to see, but it really doesn't matter. Because it's what you desire. And it's the love we have for other people that we put before ourselves. Lord, I ask this morning that if there's anyone in this congregation that has not surrendered their life to you, that's sitting right in their seat where they are this morning, that they'll bow their head and say, Lord, please, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Thank you for saving me from my sin. Lord, as you were resurrected on the third day, one day, we too shall defeat death through you and live in eternity with you. Lord, I just ask that we realize the need for you. And this world has nothing to offer for us. And how short life is. And how short our lives are. And that, Lord, we would desire you. Fathers would desire you for their wives, for their family. And mothers would desire you for their husbands and children. And families would begin to come together and say, as for me and our house, we will serve you, Lord. Lord, let us go from here and serve you today. We ask these things in your will and in your holy and blessed name. Amen. Dusty and Stephen, could you do offering?